Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. I want to read verses 7 through 10, and then verses 15 through 21. And we'll be looking at several verses in the book of Exodus. Chapter 3, begin reading verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And then over in verse 15 through verse 21, And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. We read here are the words of the Lord to Moses. When the Lord appeared to him at the burning bush, in these words, the Lord states his purpose to Moses in verse 8. His purpose is to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, unto a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So God states his purpose to Moses. He then instructs Moses to tell Israel what God had told him. We see in verse 15, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. In verse 16, Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them. And we see that God, after he instructs Moses to go tell the Israelites, he makes a promise to them, to him. He says, And they shall hearken to thy voice. Moses, you go and tell them what I've told you, and they are going to listen to you, because God would work it where they would. The Lord then instructs him in verse 18 that after he told Israel, he was to go and tell Pharaoh. And he makes a promise concerning that as well, there in verses 19 through 21. He says he's not going to let you go except by my power. And then God promised that he would send these plagues upon Egypt, and eventually that Pharaoh would let the people go and that they would find favor with the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, as we know, gave them their silver and their gold. And that, of course, was used in the building of the tabernacle. So Moses has instruction and promise from God. In chapter 4, we see that Moses was filled with unbelief. He said, I can't do this. And we see, of course, that God would appoint Aaron to be the spokesman. So Moses is filled with unbelief, but God has only, he can, gave Moses assurance. In chapter 4, verses 29 and 31 through 31, Moses and Aaron followed the Lord's instruction and told Israel. Notice chapter 4, verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And the people believed. God had promised that they would listen. And we see that the end result was, in the latter part of that verse, they bowed their heads and worshiped. So they followed God's instruction in telling Israel. And following this, Moses and Aaron followed the instruction of the Lord and went and told Pharaoh. Chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So Moses and Aaron, armed with instruction from God, armed with a promise and assurance from the Lord, go and tell Pharaoh. And we know as the story progresses, they have several encounters with Pharaoh, and that's what we want to view tonight, is these encounters that they had with Pharaoh. We will primarily focus upon Pharaoh's responses to their request or to their demand, and also the proposals that he made to Moses and Aaron. And in so doing, we see Pharaoh has a picture of Satan. We see him as a picture of the world. We see him as a picture of sinful flesh. So we want to speak on the proposals of Satan, the world, and the flesh. And as we view these, as you view the story, you see very clearly God's sovereignty in working his purposes, but that's not our purpose tonight, but it's all there. And we're reminded in all of this, in all the encounters, there's four encounters that they have with Pharaoh, we are reminded that God's people do not need to settle for anything less than what God has told them. Not to settle for anything less than what God has for them. Now, in order to understand Pharaoh's proposals, we have to get to the foundation, the basis of his proposals. And that'll help us understand where he's coming from, and help us understand where the devil's coming from in the world and our flesh, because those have the same basis as Pharaoh. A proposal is an idea, and that's what Pharaoh presented to Moses and Aaron, an idea, a proposition, a suggestion. It was more of a scheme. And Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh has many, many proposals that they present to us. And in order to understand and to see what the proposal really is, we need to know its foundation. We need to know where it comes from. Why is this proposal being made? So there in chapter 5, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, in verse 1, we see Pharaoh's initial response in verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." That response reveals the character of Pharaoh. It also reveals the basis of the future proposals that he would make to Moses and Aaron. The character that Pharaoh exhibited is the very character of Satan. It is the very character of the world. It is the very character of sinful flesh. And it reveals the basis of the proposals of Satan, the proposals of the world, the proposals of flesh. And they all go together. Satan, the world, and sinful flesh work together. They have since the fall. And no matter how educated man thinks he is, and no matter how improved man thinks he is, these work together. Now, in chapter 5, verse 1, Pharaoh was confronted with the authority of God. The very first words out of Aaron's mouth are, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." So, immediately, Pharaoh is confronted with the authority of God. And when God's demand was presented to Pharaoh, he was repulsed. He was repulsed. And in a haughty spirit said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go?" And then he said, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Pharaoh had already determined what he was going to do. And Pharaoh had already determined that no one was going to stand in his path. But Pharaoh's problem was with this authority, the authority of God. And this is the very spirit of Satan. It is the very spirit of the world. And it is the very spirit of sinful flesh. Sinful flesh has a problem with the authority of God. Sinful flesh has a problem with "thus saith the Lord." And what we have revealed here in verse 2 is the basis of Pharaoh's proposals. It's where all his proposals come from. And it's where all the proposals of the world come from, and the proposals of our sinful flesh as well. We read of the response of Moses and Aaron in verse 3, and they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And then Pharaoh responded, and when he did, he further revealed his character. "And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" This is the typical attitude of Satan. It is the typical attitude of the world. It is the typical attitude of sinful flesh. And what it is is that the burdens of Egypt, the work of Egypt, is far more important than the service of the Lord. That's what Pharaoh is saying. He's saying, you guys get back to work. The work of Egypt took precedence in Pharaoh's mind over everything else. That's true with the devil today. That's the world's attitude today. And that is the flesh's attitude as well. And Satan and the world and sinful, depraved flesh have convinced many that it is so, that the matters of Egypt are far more important than the spiritual, than service to the Lord. And many have bought that and have settled for less than what God has for them. So we get the foundation, we get the basis of where these proposals come from. They come from the fact that there is a problem with God's authority. They come from the fact that Egypt takes precedence over spiritual matters. You can just mark it down. I don't care who it is, but when they present something and that Egypt takes precedence over God, that's of Satan. That's of the devil. And our flesh will agree with it. So let's look at Pharaoh's proposals. And again, as we do this, consider, keep in mind the basis of these proposals. It is a disdain. Who is the Lord? It is a disdain for the person of God. It is a disdain. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? It is a disdain for the authority of God. That I, it is a focus upon self. Why are you two allowing the Israelites to cease from their work? It comes from a belief that the world is more important than God. Proposal number one. Upon the demand of Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh increased the workload of the Israelites, as you read on there in chapter 5, putting more and more and more pressure upon them. That's what Satan likes to do. Satan loves to put more and more and more pressure upon the children of God. That's what the world tries to do. That's what sinful flesh tries to do. And many have become intimidated and they bow to the pressure. In fact, they will make statements such as, well, I really don't have a choice. And they honestly believe that. They honestly believe. So much pressure is put upon them that they believe that they don't have a choice in the matter. And this is what Pharaoh does. He increases the workload. In the meantime, there's God working His purpose. And while Pharaoh is increasing the workload upon the Israelites, he sends a plague of blood upon the Nile River. Remember, the Nile River, that's where they were to drown the Hebrew babies. And God sent a plague upon that river. God help this country, because we've killed more than Egypt did Hebrew babies. And there's a plague coming. He also sent a plague of frogs. Plague number two that overran the country. And he also sent a plague of lice, plague number three. And then after sending these three plagues, and I believe they're all going on at the same time, the Lord instructed Moses to go to Pharaoh again and make a demand. Now these plagues have come. Pharaoh is more willing to talk. In chapter 8 and verse 20, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve him. And he was also to issue a threat. Verse 21, Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies." Not only in addition to the blood, in addition to the frogs and the lice, I will send a swarm of flies. As you read on, God sent the flies, which led to Pharaoh making his first proposal. Chapter 8, verse 25, "And Pharaoh called for Moses." Pharaoh called for Moses this time. Four plagues have hit. "He called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." Pharaoh has granted permission for Israel to worship their God, but they had to stay in the land. They had to stay in Egypt, still under Pharaoh's control. That's what the devil does. You think the world or the enemies of God are giving you permission to do something, and oh, aren't they wonderful? But to try and, again, Pharaoh was only interested in control. So it is with the devil and the world. What he's saying here, basically, if you want to put it in modern day language, is be a Christian if you want. But don't even think of breaking off the yoke with darkness. You're not going that far. And that's what the devil does. It's what the world does. That's what the flesh does. Don't even think. You go ahead and serve God. But don't even think about breaking your connection with Egypt. Satan, the world, and the flesh seeks to keep us slaves, but trying to convince us that we're not. The worst kind of slavery is to be a slave and not even know it. And that's going on all around us. Satan, the world, and the flesh wants no distinction between God's people and the world. And this is what Pharaoh is saying. Go ahead and worship, but you do it in the land. That is, there's no distinction. Remember again where this all comes from. And in Exodus 8 and verse 27, Moses insists upon God's way. He said, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Pharaoh, we do not accept your proposal. We are going to do just exactly as God told us to do. And God did not tell us to remain in the land. God told us to go 3 days into the wilderness." So Moses' answer leads to proposal number two. Verse 28. "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. only you shall not go very far away. The idea was they were to go 3 days' journey. And Pharaoh's saying, okay, you can go a little further into the land, but not 3 days. Not 3 days. Only you shall not go very far away. And then he asked Moses and Aaron to pray for him because of these plagues. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Pharaoh here is ready to lengthen the chain, if you will, but still chain. And the devil's good at that. He'll lengthen the chain, but keep in mind, there's still a chain. There's still a chain. The world will do that too. They'll lengthen the chain. But don't be so ignorant not to realize there's still a chain. And the flesh will do that as well. The point of issue here is the complete separation of God's people from Egypt. And this Pharaoh contested to the bitter end. And Satan does the same today. And so does the world. And so does the flesh. Notice those words in verse 28. Only ye shall not go very far away. Not very far away. This is one of Satan's and the world and the flesh most successful proposals. Go ahead, but don't go too far. Avoid extremes. How many times God's people seek to serve God and someone who even professes to be a child of God? Well, now you're going to an extreme. May I ask, what is an extreme when it comes to serving the Lord? There are no extremes. The world will say, Satan and our flesh, now go ahead, but don't get carried away. Don't become a fanatic. Be sensible. Well, if you're sensible, you'll do what God said. And God said, go 3 days. Beware of letting your religion, your Christianity, spoil your life. And many have bought into those things. What Pharaoh was proposing here, basically, is borderline Christianity. Yeah, you can go, but only so far. Borderline Christianity. Satan proposes it, the world proposes it, and the flesh loves it. Borderline Christianity. The truth is, those words, not very far away, are incompatible with everything God tells us. They're incompatible. They go against everything that God tells us. So there's that proposal. Go ahead, but don't go too far. Remember where the proposal comes from. Remember where it comes from. Pharaoh, after he made his second proposal, asked Moses to pray that God would remove the flies. And Moses prayed, and God removed the flies, and Pharaoh, just like the world and sinful flesh, in Exodus 8, verse 32, the plague has been removed, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. That's what the world does. They're in trial, they're in tribulation, oh, pray for me. And you pray, and God removes the plague, and what happens? They harden their heart. That's the flesh. That's the world's way. Moses again approached Pharaoh. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. There's that authority again. Let my people go, that they may serve me. And then as you read on there, we're not going to, but as you read on, you see that he threatened Pharaoh with another plague, the plague of pestilence upon the cattle, which the Lord, of course, sent. And he also sent a plague of boils, and he also sent a plague of hail. And then the Lord instructed Moses with all these new plagues now. He instructs Moses, go talk to Pharaoh again. And in chapter 10, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. Notice who's in control here. For I have hardened his heart. And the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. I have hardened his heart, I have hardened the hearts of all his servants, so that I can work my wonder, so that I can bring these plagues upon them. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt. That is, you'll be talking about these things to your grandkids. And my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will ye refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. And then after that, he issues another threat. That is Moses and Aaron. Aaron's the spokesman. In verses 4 through 7, there is the threat of another plague, the plague of locust, which God, of course, sends. And this leads to proposal number 3. Notice in Exodus 10, verse 8, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh with these new plagues coming upon him. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? He says, I'm going to allow you to go. And I'm going to even allow you to go the 3 days. But we need to discuss who's going. And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. Will we go? He says, we're all going. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Pharaoh speaking, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go. Now Pharaoh appears to be being nice. Don't let the world fool you with their kindness, or Satan, or even your flesh. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. He says, I'm concerned about your little ones. I'm concerned about your children, because there's danger out there in the wilderness. The devil is never concerned for you. And neither is this world, in reality, when it comes to spiritual things. Verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So Pharaoh is saying, you may go, but it's very dangerous out there. And you need to leave your children behind. You need to leave your wives behind. Ye that are men, go. Now again, all Pharaoh is doing, just like Satan in the world and sinful flesh, he's seeking to retain a hold upon them. And this time he would do it through their natural affections, their loved ones. Pharaoh sought to use their children, their loved ones, to keep them from being done with Egypt. If you leave your children behind, if you leave your wives behind, Pharaoh knew they're coming back. They're coming back. They're not going to leave those children. They're not going to leave their wives. Oh, they can go. Now the devil will do everything he can to keep you from going. But if you get insistent, he'll let you go, but he'll say, he wants to keep your heart back there still. He'll do everything he can. So he knew, if they keep their children and their wives, they'll be back. And Satan's all right with that. He'd rather you not go at all. But if you're going to go, he wants to know they'll be back. And that was what Pharaoh's proposal is here. He knew that if their children were in Egypt, and their wives, they would be back. Again, remember where the proposal comes from. God then, after this proposal, sent a plague of darkness in verses 21 through 29 of chapter 10. And during that darkness, in verse 24 of chapter 10, and Pharaoh called unto Moses, which leads to proposal number 4. Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. He knew, once again, that if their flocks and their herds were left in Egypt, that to a degree their hearts and minds would still be in Egypt. And as long as their hearts and minds are still in Egypt, they are not going to get too settled away from Egypt. The devil knows these things. And the devil still uses the same tactics today. He has different means, but he still uses the same tactics. Why? Because they work. They work. What Pharaoh was seeking here was, again, the distraction of a divided heart. As long as they left something back in Egypt, he knew their heart would be divided. And the devil, of course, is an expert at that. But notice in verse 24, we see the same thing in proposal number 2 in Exodus 8, verse 28. But very important word. Go ye serve the Lord only. Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Only. The word only is meant to imply that he was offering something that was minute. I'm only asking you to leave behind your flocks and herds. As if this is no big deal. This is of little consequences. One of Satan's favorite words is only. Satan's proposals, we need to settle this in our minds, are never minute. They are never of little consequence. Never. He'll make it appear that way. Again, one of his favorite words, one of the favorite words of Satan, one of the favorite words of the world and sinful flesh is that word only. It's only one Sunday and people fall for it. People have been falling for it for centuries. It's only one Sunday. But it's not. It's not. It's only one time. Oh, but it's not. Only this one time. And we see that word only appeared in the second proposal, Exodus 8:28, and it appears again here in the fourth proposal. Satan, the world, and sinful flesh. How many people have been entrapped and are entrapped today by that word only? That what was only supposed to be one time is now a lifetime. That which was supposed to be only one Sunday is now a habit. The devil keeps using this because it works. Because sinful flesh is convicted. Sinful flesh is convinced, yes, it'll just be this one time. After all, the devil wouldn't lie to me. Certainly the world wouldn't lie to me. Remember where these proposals come from. From an utter disdain of God and the authority of God. Try it this one time. Try it only once. And pretty soon it's a habit. Again, remember where it comes from. We see the reply of Moses in Exodus 10, verse 25 and 26. And Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings." They needed the herds. "That we may sacrifice in the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God." We can't do what God said if we leave them behind, is what Moses is saying. They're all going with us. "And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither." So in these four proposals, we have a very good picture of Satan. How he works. How the world works. How flesh works. But we also have an encouragement in Moses and Aaron. They did not bend. They did not agree to any one of those proposals. To every one of those proposals, they said, absolutely not. This isn't open for debate. This isn't open for discussion. God told us to do this, and this is what we're going to do. That is a huge mistake, to enter into a discussion, to enter into a debate with Satan, or the world, or your flesh. There's nothing to discuss. God says this, and that's what we're to do. There's no need for discussion. There's no need for proposals. Well, you know, we at least should listen to their proposal. Why? Why? You know where it comes from. It comes from a disdain of the purpose of God. But from all of this, we see the perseverance. I mean, plague upon plague. And Pharaoh appeared would bend a little bit. But the perseverance that Pharaoh displayed, every inch of Israel's way out of Egypt. And so it is today. Satan will persevere in fighting you every inch of the way if you're headed out of Egypt. And so will the world, and so will your flesh. And we see the resolve of Moses to simply do as the Lord commanded. And what God commanded was a break from Egypt. And Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel, they obeyed. And we see the glorious result. It brought them to the Red Sea. If we know the story, Pharaoh eventually said, "Go, go, go." Well, then as they were all leaving, Pharaoh began to think, "Oh, no, this isn't happening." And that's what the devil will do. And he knew he'd have them trapped. But what he didn't know was God. That's what he didn't know. Sadly, many of God's people don't know that. And we know that Israel's reaction at first was, "We're trapped. We don't have any place to go. Only place we can go is back to Egypt." And the world and Satan and our flesh will try to convince us. Once again, I don't have any choice in the matter. I've got to go back. Don't want to, but I got to. That's just not so. That's never so. You never have to go back to Egypt. You only think you do. But you never have to go back. Moses didn't know what to do. God said, "Moses, stand still. Just stop right where you are. Stop. Just stand there for a while." And he had them stand there long enough until the Egyptians just kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And there's the Red Sea, and God finally said, "Go." And you can believe what you want to, but I believe that water did not part until Moses put his foot down. And I believe each step of the way, the water just parted. They had to first make that step of faith, and then God did the miraculous. Point is, we do what God says. You don't have to figure it out. God already has it figured out. He already knows what He's going to do. All you have to do is follow, and you will see the miraculous over and over and over and over again. Yet today, Satan, the world, and flesh has God's people convinced, "I've got to do this. I don't want to, but I want to be there on Sunday, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, but you understand I can't." No, I don't understand. No, I don't. And it's sad if they understand. Don't let the devil convince you that you have to settle for anything less than what God has said. Don't let the world convince you of that. Don't let your flesh convince you of that. Just take God at His word and go forth. And we would see the miraculous time and time and time again. And we see these truths illustrated all through the Word of God for our own encouragement. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.